Rebecca did not exist before this episode. What they are about to describe is happening across Northwest as you listen. This is their story. In Runcorn and Helsby, healthcare training programs sit unfunded while hospitals struggle with understaffing and people queue for nursing courses that never materialize. Rebecca's journey through the NHS workforce planning system reveals how Treasury spending constraints block the connection between people who want to care and wards that need them.
I grew up in Frodsham watching my nan recover from a stroke. The nurses at Holton Hospital were incredible. Patient, skilled, completely dedicated to getting her walking again. I was 15 when she came home, and I knew then that I wanted to be part of that. I wanted to be the person who helped families through their worst days and celebrated with them on their best ones. I left school at 16 and took a job as a healthcare assistant at Holton Hospital. It was meant to be temporary while I figured out my A-levels, but 8 years later I was still there, working nights and weekends, saving every pound I could and studying part-time through distance learning. The ward manager kept telling me I'd make a brilliant nurse, that I had the compassion and the practical sense for it. All I needed was the qualification. In 2022, I finally had my A-levels and applied to the University of Chester's nursing programme. The interview went well, really well. The admissions tutor said they were impressed with my experience and my motivation. 3 weeks later, I got the acceptance letter. I was over the moon. Then I got the second letter. Health Education England told me that despite being accepted, there were no funded places available that year. The letter said, "Due to Treasury spending constraints, we cannot offer you a training place at this time. We encourage you to reapply next year when funding may become available." I thought it was just bad timing. Surely next year would be different. I spent another year on the wards, watching the staffing crisis get worse, seeing agency nurses come and go while permanent posts stayed empty. I reapplied in 2023. Same result. Accepted by the university, rejected for funding. This time the letter was almost identical. Treasury spending constraints and funding may become available. I decided to go straight to NHS England. I called their workforce planning department and spoke to someone who sounded genuinely sympathetic. She said, "I'm sorry, but our workforce planning budgets are severely constrained by government spending limits. We simply cannot afford to train more nurses right now, even though we desperately need them." That phrase stuck with me. We cannot afford to train more nurses right now, even though we desperately need them. It sounded reasonable. Everyone was talking about tight budgets and difficult choices. I accepted it. I took a job at Warrington Hospital as a senior healthcare assistant, thinking it might strengthen my application. During my orientation, they showed us around the education centre. That's when I saw something that didn't make sense. An entire wing of the building was sitting empty. Fully equipped simulation labs with high-tech mannequins, lecture rooms with whiteboards still covered in old lesson plans, computer terminals under dust covers. There were boxes of medical training equipment that had never been opened. Mannequins still in packaging, IV training arms, intubation models. I asked the orientation coordinator why it wasn't being used. She said, "There's no money to run programs, even though we desperately need more nurses." There was that phrase again. Desperately need, but no money. But I was looking right at the equipment. The building existed. The lecture rooms existed. The mannequins existed. Walking back through Runcorn Town Centre after that shift, I started thinking about all the people I knew who were unemployed or stuck in jobs that were going nowhere. My friend Sarah from school was working part-time at a care home, always talking about how much she'd love to be a proper nurse if she could get the training. My neighbour's daughter had been trying to get on a healthcare course for 2 years. I started to wonder, if the people exist, and the building exists, and the equipment exists, and the need exists, what exactly is it that there is no money for? The more I thought about it, the stranger it seemed. The same government that issues the pound was telling me it couldn't find enough pounds to connect people who wanted to train with hospitals that needed nurses. The Treasury that creates the currency was treating it as though someone else made it and we'd run out. I used to accept the excuse that there was no money. I hear it differently now. The government that prints the notes and mints the coins told me it could not find enough of them to train the people who were standing right there, ready to work. The real question was never about money. It was about whether the people existed, whether the skills could be taught, whether the materials were available. They were, all of them. The excuse was not a fact. It was a choice wrapped in the language of impossibility. It is the same logic as a household that says, "We cannot afford it. except a household does not issue its own currency. The government does. The limit was never the money. The limit was the willingness to spend it into the places and the people who needed it. I'm still a healthcare assistant. I'm still watching wards run short-staffed while training places go unfilled. But I understand now that this isn't happening because the country is broke or because there aren't enough resources. It's happening because someone in Westminster decided that creating nurses wasn't worth the pounds it would take to make it happen. The resources were always there. The choice was always political.
What Rebecca experienced has a name: fake experts. This technique relies on citing economists or commentators who treat the household budget myth as self-evident truth, as though repeating it makes it real. Throughout history, fake experts have defended harmful policies by creating an illusion of scientific consensus. Tobacco companies funded researchers who questioned the cancer link. Pharmaceutical companies paid doctors to downplay addiction risks. The pattern is always the same. Find credentialed voices who will say what you need them to say, then treat their authority as proof. In Rebecca's story, every institution cited unnamed economic wisdom to justify the funding caps. Economists say we cannot spend more on health without causing inflation, they claimed. But which economists? The profession is divided. Many macroeconomists argue the binding constraint is real capacity, not currency. Economists say without naming them is an appeal to unnamed authority. The UK government issues its own currency. It does not need to find pounds before it spends them. The real constraint is resources: people, skills, materials, time. Rebecca saw those resources sitting idle: empty training centres, unemployed people wanting healthcare careers, hospitals desperately short-staffed. The fake experts convinced everyone this was about money when it was always about political choice. The resources existed. The people existed. The decision not to connect them was political, not financial. Runcorn and Helsby ranks 177 out of 543 English constituencies on the deprivation index, placing it in decile 4. English Indices of Deprivation 2025 MHCLG. The constituency has 1,756 registered charities, Charity Commission Register. Organisations in the area received £17 million in recorded grants, 360 giving grant NAV. All sources are published at blockedbritain.co.uk. Blocked Britain tells the stories of people whose lives are shaped by the gap between what Britain needs and what its institutions choose to provide. Every character is fictional. Every situation is drawn from official statistics, produced by Blocked Britain.